Good morning. How are you doing today? Awesome. Good. I'm hearing some good feedback. That's good. So I'm here, but my family's here too. I'm going to get them just to stand up and say hi, my wife, Deborah, and my two kids. Good to see you guys. Really happy to be with you. Honestly, it was just amazing sitting here, just being able to worship with you, because that's worshiping with this number of people in this kind of setting and just being able to let go and be free and worshiping beside my family was fantastic. So I just want to tell you how much of a blessing that is and not to take that kind of thing for granted. Not a lot of people, there are a lot of people in this world who can't do that. So appreciate it, enjoy it, and just let it be part of who you are, that beautiful worship that we give to God, and do it together. This is beautiful to do it corporately, do it on your own. It's beautiful to do it individually. Just get into the heart of worship and love it. Appreciate it. Amen? Because that's awesome. So a few things I'm going to talk about today. I'm here to kind of, it's been a while since we've been here, eh? It's been about 4 years, actually. I look back in my calendar and to see when was the last time we visited. 4 years. Now, we had planned to be here in the summer of 2020, and we all know how that went. So we couldn't make that trip, and this is the earliest we could get back to come and share in person. So that's we're excited. I mean, excited is not exactly the word. We're happy. We're joyous to be here with you and share a little bit about what God has been doing, and hopefully what we're going to see happen going forward. So that's what I'm here to do: tell you a bit about where we've been, what's been happening, what God's put in our heart, something a little bit new. And where we hope to see God taking us in the future. And then I'm going to ask something of you. I'm going to use a lot of prayer requests today. So I don't know if you pray. If you pray for our family, fantastic. If you don't, that's great too. But if you've got a pen and paper, write some things down today. Take them home, because we want you to be praying for us, for the people we're trying to reach, the country we're in, and the ministry that God's called us to do. Is that okay? All right, good. And we're going to put some scriptures and things up here, and I encourage you to write these scriptures down as well. Take them home, read them again, ask God to speak again to you. Ask him what he's saying to you through his word from these scriptures today. I want to start, though, with kind of a reminder, a little bit, of kind of who we are and what kind of lights the fire inside of us, what gets us excited, what drives us to do what we do. Because we get that question a lot of why are you doing this? Why do you do this? And why are you staying so long? So I want to give you a little bit of a picture of that why for us. So I start with a scripture from Romans chapter 10. It's a very well-known scripture. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that's encouraging, right? Should be. Right? This is an encouraging scripture. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, because that's what we're hoping for. That's our hope right there. But here's the reality about the world that we live in today, that a huge percentage of our world does not call on the name of Jesus. They just don't. Many of them don't even know what Jesus has done for them. Now, that's the reality. We're sitting here because of this truth, and we're looking forward to the day when Christ comes back and takes us home, or we go to him first. We're looking forward to that day because it's going to be a joyous day, celebration. But so many people live in darkness. I want to show you a picture. I don't know if you're a visual person. You can see this next picture up here, all these different colored dots, and these are different levels of reachedness of people groups around the world. It's not countries or any. These are people groups represented in this map. So this is what God sees when he looks down. These are dots of green colors are reached, largely reached, and goes through different shades of green through yellow, orange, and then to red. And those red ones are the unreached and unengaged people groups of our world. Now go into the next slide. You see the next picture. We'll go in a little closer to what we would typically call the 1040 window. This is a lot of red in here. There's some green you see there in the sub-Saharan African continent and some over there in Southeast Asia. But huge numbers of red. Now, represented in here, we see about 42% of the world's people groups. That's big, unreached in this world. And that's what's in our hearts. This is where we live. This is where God has called us to reach. 42% of the people groups in our world. That represents over 3 billion, not million, 3 billion people on our planet who are not being reached with the gospel, who don't have the ability to propagate the gospel within their own people group, who probably don't even have the gospel message in their own language. And here's the bad part. No one's bringing it. Is that heavy? I know I'm bringing something heavy here to kick things off, right? I hope it is, because that's unacceptable. In the world that we live in today, with the resources and capabilities that we have, we talked a little bit about it with the technology, but that's unacceptable in my books. And that's the fire that burns in our guts. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. That's what drives us. Just so you know, the rest of the story I'm going to tell you this morning, I want you to know why this is important to us. 42%. I don't know if you're a numbers person, but for me, that just blows my mind. Here, another number for you, 5%. That's the amount of resources, kingdom resources, that are being invested into reaching those people. 5%. But I'm also here to encourage you and to thank you, because what you give and what you invest is part of that. Sending people, sending resources into that part of the world to see those red dots changed colors. So it drives us. I want that to drive you a little bit. I want to make you uncomfortable a little bit. Is that okay? To make you feel that weight, the heaviness. Because this is what finishing the task looks like, is changing those red dots to green. And that's what we're about, changing those red dots. Amen? Amen. So we're going to put a pin in that, and we're just going to slide that over. We'll come back to it at the end. That's okay. Don't forget it yet. We're going to come back to it. But I want to tell you a little bit about where we've been and the journey we've come on so far. Well, we were here about 4 years ago, in the summertime again, and I don't know if you remember our last visit. We came and we shared a little bit about what we were hoping to see God do in and through us in that part of the world and where we live, and we were quite excited to be here. We'd seen some changes and some challenges come up, and we were facing a little bit of a difficult road. Well, the past 4 years have been a similar road, a little bit difficult. We've seen some upheaval, we've seen some road bumps. It hasn't been the easiest path, but in that particular time, God began to put a scripture in our hearts. And I want to share that scripture with you. This has been really important to us, a very significant scripture for us. I want to read it. It's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. It's up here. I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. And I thought, okay, this is great. God's going to bring some happiness and bring some joy, and things are going to be good. They're going to get better. The road's going to get easier. And then God says, go back and read it again. Now, how many of you know we should read Scripture as it's actually written, and not necessarily how I want it to be written? So we come back to the Scripture again here. It says, I have learned. Oh, boy, there's some learning that's going to happen here. Okay, that in whatever situation I find myself, whatever situation, to be content. Okay, so there was some change that was coming into our lives. I didn't know what exactly it looked like, but the more we prayed about this, the more we looked at it, we really felt God was bringing something new, something different. But then to learn to be content in all situations, not happy. Is anybody here happy all the time? I'm not. No, but to be content, to be fully satisfied in the love of God, to live in that place where you have no fear, but you live with the power, love, and sound mind that He's given us, that spirit overflowing in you. I thought, oh boy, this is going to be a challenge, but can we do this? Can we learn? Can we begin to understand what that means going forward? And little did I know what kind of change God was bringing into our lives, but He was bringing some big changes. And I don't know how many of you have tracked with us through our prayer letters, or we did attend a prayer event online here when everything went online. We did have a prayer event. We shared a little bit about what God was doing and the challenges we were facing, but because of the kind of country we live in, we have to use creative means of accessing people. So we've shared about this a lot before when we've come here. We can't just go and be ministers of the gospel overtly in the country that we live in. We have to actually create methods of contacting people, putting ourselves in their path so that we can build relationships and we can build trust, and then we get a chance to share our faith with them. So that's the kind of countries that we've lived in the past, which is no different than where we are right now. So we created opportunities through business, through education, and it was going fantastic. So I ran an English training center. I ran a business development center. We did training, we did coaching, consulting, all kinds of ESL classes, anything that would bring people into our doors that would naturally put us into contact with people. Because, I mean, here, I mean, we do this normally, right? All of you have something that you do outside of your home, whether it's a job or a gym or a sports or something that you do that puts you out there naturally in contact with people. You don't have to go far to find unreached people, right? Some of them, we live with them. Some of them are our neighbors. Some of them are in our workplaces or at our schools. And so this is just the kind of environment we have to create. So through business, through, my wife does it through education. So I think the next picture will show you a little bit about my business and the kind of people that I got to rub shoulders with. So this is my center, and these are the people, some of the people, that I got to make friends with and build relationships with and speak into their lives. Now, God was gracious and faithful and was bringing in hundreds of people every week into our center. We were bringing the gospel into their lives. We were showing it to them. We were speaking it to them. We were seeing people come to faith, people being discipled, people being prayed with, being prayed for, Bibles being distributed. Fantastic things were happening until it wasn't anymore, until we ran into some roadblocks on a governmental level. It wasn't that we had any trouble business-wise, but we had trouble with our license. The government just basically said, no more license for you. You don't check our boxes anymore. You don't qualify for a business license, which therefore means no visa for you. And that was a problem. You can see the problem with that one. No visa to be able to stay in the country means we can't stay in the country. And this is where God has called us to be. So even though things were going well, good things were happening, disciples were being made, and new disciples were then making other disciples, what we had prayed for was happening. But the ground was beginning to shake. Now the next picture you can see is my wife's vocation, where she's a teacher. And now she works in admin in our school. How many teachers do we have here in the building? Any teachers? Fantastic opportunity. I love teachers. I don't necessarily love school, but I love teachers. Great opportunity to be able to speak into the lives of other influencers in our communities through children, be blessings into their lives, open doors for us to show the love of Christ and speak the love of Christ over families. And so that's what my wife has been doing, and we love what she does, and it's opened doors, and she's even continuing now to build those relationships with other teachers and other families and even being able to show love to the children. So a fantastic opportunity. But the business that we were running, unfortunately, we had to shut down, which was a sad day. I don't know if anyone here has ever had to close a business before, but it's not a pleasant journey to have to do that, and then also not being able to understand all of the whys of why it happened. But this ground began to shake under our feet. Now, this isn't the first country we've been in. We had to leave another country that we've been in under similar circumstances that we began to see happen. The ground shook there. We saw the similar kind of things. We got our visa taken away. And God was moving us out of that country into the country we live now. And we thought maybe this is what God was doing for us. This is maybe God moving us on again. So not only that was happening, not only this was happening, but I think the next picture speaks also to all of us here as well. About 2 years ago, we all know, we don't have to talk anymore about this today, we all know what this means. So about 2 years ago, this began to happen. And we couldn't understand completely what God was trying to do, but we thought, he's moving us on. So God, what do you want next for us? We began to turn our eyes outside of the country. God, do you want us to move to this country, to that country? There's good work that can be done anywhere. You saw all of those red dots up there, right? There's a lot of red dots on that screen. So God, are you leading us to another red dot? Are you taking us back to Canada, maybe? So we began to look for jobs in Canada, which I don't necessarily know that I'm cut out for a whole lot of jobs in this country anymore, but began to explore all the options, throw them all on the table, because we were pretty sure that that's what God wanted us to do. We tried to get our work permits and visas through my wife's school. That was a no-go. Couldn't happen. We went through a long, expensive process to get the visa, and then it didn't work. We tried again, back through the process again, long, and we were having no answers, no answers. So we actually committed ourselves to leaving our country and moving to another one. We looked for a work for my wife, and she got a job offer. We looked for a team, and we found one that was working with a fantastic people group. And we were set to leave. We told our leadership, it's time to go. And we were beginning to prepare to tell our partners that we're moving again, that God was moving us on. Until God actually changed that, said, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to move from this country. I want you to stay and be patient. Learn to be content in whatever circumstances you find yourself, and be patient and push through. Even though we had absolutely nothing to show us that anything was going to happen. We had nothing to show us that our visas would come through. We had nothing to prove to us that there was an open door. In fact, everything showed the complete opposite. Everything pointed in a completely different direction. And we were confused. We didn't really understand the whys and the hows and the whats, but we knew there was one thing we could stand on, that God was saying, stay, be patient, and push through. So we trusted. Even though we didn't know, we couldn't prove it, we said, okay, God, we'll stay. So we called the other opportunities, and we said, you know what, thank you, but no thank you. We believe God wants us to stay in this place. God wants us to remain and be patient and be faithful and push through. And they respected all of that. But it wasn't until actually we did that, and it was the very same day that we said no thank you to those other opportunities, and we refocused our eyes back where God had originally called us. We received the document we had been waiting for a very long time, that allowed us to get the work permit through my wife's work and give us the visa we needed to stay in the country indefinitely. So I like to share that story because I bring it up because I don't know if there are other people out there who might be facing a similar kind of circumstance or situation where you don't know, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't know that there's a silver lining to this cloud. Now, that's where we were. That's the situation we were facing. We had nothing except God saying, stay, be faithful, learn to be content, and push through. That's all we had, was the word of God. But you know what? That was enough. The word of God is and will always be enough for us. Right? So I want to encourage you with that this morning, that we're just one example, and I could bring up hundreds and thousands of examples of other people who exactly the same thing, just trusting in the word of God, the call of God, the vision he's put in your hearts, regardless of the circumstances that are spinning, maybe even out of control around you, but staying faithful to the call. And the visas came through. Now, right around that same time, about 4 years ago, something interesting was happening, something new for us. We were having trouble with the business, the ground was shaking, we were moving in a completely different direction with not a lot of uncertainty, a lot of instability, but God put a fire in us for something, for someone, a particular people group. And I want to introduce them to you today. We can show you a picture up here of them on the next slide. I want to introduce you to the Dome people. The Dome people are one of those red dots. Actually, there are about 15 of those red dots represented in about 15 different countries through the Middle East and North Africa. Okay, so then they number approximately 15 million in total global, and in the country we live in, about 3 million completely unreached peoples. And in the country we live in right now, we have heard of maybe one believer amongst them. But we can't prove it because we can't find him. We just have heard that he's there. So that's part of our process of searching. Where is this fella? Trying to find and knocking on every door. So about 4 years ago, God put this people group on our hearts. We didn't know what to do with them. We had no idea who they were, never even heard their names before. So we started asking people, who are these people? Where do they live? What do you know about them? What can you tell us about them? And we got negative response after negative response, and people just discouraging us from even trying to do anything with them. Don't try. They're thieves. They're bad people. They'll steal from you. They'll take everything you have, the gold from your teeth. That's kind of weird. But so we didn't have a clue what to do with them, and we couldn't find anyone willing to go with us to explore. So unfortunately, we put them on the back burner. I said, okay, God, that's obviously I heard wrong, which, you know, I've done before. We'll put them back there, and we'll just see, okay, leave it, and we'll just keep pushing forward, stay focused. So that was about 4 years ago. 2 years ago, we were at a conference, a regional conference, and God brought them back up in our hearts again, but in a fun way. We were praying in groups for unreached people groups, and they were handing out sheets to people of different people groups. And we received our sheet, and which one do you think it was? Yes. We flip it over, and there's the Dome people again. We get the Dome people, and God's saying, I want you to reach this people group. I want you to reach them. Why? Because no one else is, and no one else will. That's the truth. They're one of those red dots. They're actually considered a frontier people group in the country that I live in, because no one's even trying to bring them the gospel. And that's sad. But here God is bringing them back into our hearts again, and we thought, okay, we have to do this. We have to figure out a way. How can we do this? It's not, we began to change our rhetoric a little bit in the questions we were asking of not what can I do to reach this people group, to what needs to be done. What has to happen to reach this people group? And so we were getting the same negative responses, the same people telling us, don't go, don't do it, they're thieves, they're filthy. But this time we came back to the Word of God once again. We had no proof that we could do this. We had no idea how it could happen. But God said, I want you to reach this people group. And the burden inside of us was growing stronger and stronger, almost as if he had put his hand down on our family, grabbed our hearts, and left behind his burden for them and how his heart feels when he sees this people group where there are thousands and thousands of them dying constantly, going to eternal punishment. Now, come on. And that's the burden that he's put in our heart for this people group. So we figure, okay, no one else wants to go. That's fine. We're going to have to try something. So we started to explore, go out into the areas where we thought we knew where they might live, where we've heard some things. Now, you can look this people group up online, and you can try to do some research, but there's not much. This is the technical term that they go by, so we'll use that for today. But you're not going to find a whole lot of information about who they are, because nobody has done the research. We found one book, and she wrote this story about them, saying essentially, I don't know how to access them, but here's what I've heard about them. So it wasn't really helpful, but a little bit of information for us. So we started to go and drive. We started to pinmark their locations. We started to look, where do they live? We were asking and finding and trying to spread the word that this people group even exists in this country, because a lot of people didn't even believe they existed. So here we are, trying our best, trying to find out what we can. And I want to share with you a little bit of what we learned, because I want you to be praying for this people group. This is an unreached people group, and I want you to catch a heart for them. I want you to get to know them just a little bit, and what their lives are like, what their spiritual realities, physical realities, social realities are like, so that you can be praying intelligently and informed about who they are. Because you're going to hear a lot about them from us, hopefully, going forward. And I'm hoping you're going to hear a lot of stories of victory and lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit going forward. So I want to tell you a little bit about them. We can go to the next picture. And these are numbers. We can skip this one. These are just some of the numbers I mentioned. But I want you to see what this particular people group looks like. Now, where they come from, this is a bit of their history. They come from about 1,000 years ago, a people group broke off of northern India. And a large chunk of people left for, we can't really know the reason. We hear it's religious persecution, but they left and they migrated throughout the region, and they broke into two groups. One group went to Eastern Europe, and you might know them better as the Romani Gypsies. So that particular people group moved, and they're still a very much an unreached people group in Eastern Europe. But this people group came and broke off into the Middle East and North Africa, and they became known as the Dom Gypsies. So in English, we call them Gypsies. So the Dom people, that's one half. The Rom people, Romani speaking, they were the other kind of cousins of this people group. And this is what they look like where we live now. And the men are very difficult to tell apart from other local men in our context. But I want you to go to the next slide, and you can see the women that come from this particular people group. And they're very striking in their features, very different, very easy to spot. Wear colorful clothing, bells and jingles, and there's not a lot of pictures out there of them. But I want you to see their faces. Now, the previous one was men. This is one of the women from the community. And I want you to see their faces. I want you to begin to get that into you a little bit. Okay? I'd let this sink in just a little. I don't want you to forget it. When you leave today, I don't want you just to go on to the next thing. I want this to stick. So what we understand about their lives is they're very musical, very entrepreneurial, very crafty. They do a lot of woodwork and welding and do whatever they can to get by. Their lives are not necessarily the easiest of lives to live. They're treated very poorly. And I want to teach you one Arabic word today. Is that okay? Any Arabic speakers in the room? Anybody? No? That's okay. I can teach you. I want to teach you one word, and this is kind of the interactive portion of the session. But I want you to repeat this after me. Ghaggar. Yeah, you got to dig deep for this one because it's a r sound that comes in there. So ghaggar. You're doing, some of you are doing fantastic. you gotta pull that one from the depths to get that one out. This particular term, and I do apologize after the fact, it's not a good term, but this is what they are known as in much of the world that we live in. Now, what this word actually technically means is filthy thief. Yeah. So I want you to imagine that for a second. If your people group, wherever you're from, the actual term that people use for you is derogatory. Hey, Canadian. Imagine that for a second, that term itself would strike bad thoughts, bad feelings, negativity inside of people. We don't know what that feels like, do we? No one here can. Even we don't know what that actually feels like. To live in that situation where the actual term that you are known by is derogatory, is foul language. And just get that sinking into you for a second, just beginning to understand their social realities of how they live. They're not allowed to own property. Nobody wants to do business with them. They're not allowed to buy anything. They're not allowed to rent anything. So if you look at the next picture, you'll see the kind of situations that they live in. But these are the 13 dots that you can see. But go to the next slide. You'll be able to see what a typical home would look like. Now, this is just essentially made of garbage, whatever they can scrounge, whatever they can find. This is a nicer home that you would see out there. And they'll live in communities, by huge numbers of them, hundreds of them in communities of tent towns, just like this one. And this is just one of their homes. So their social realities, their physical realities are very difficult. The poorest of the poor in the country that we live in. So not only are they unreached, but socioeconomically challenged. Not just challenged, but almost defeated. Living from day to day, doing the best that they can. Moving from place to place because they can't stay anywhere for very long. And that's the reality. Now imagine how that would play in your mind, how that would play physically on your body, and then spiritually having nobody bringing you the truth. So living with whatever you had, living with whatever you could figure out, whatever you could know on your own. And these are the doors that we're praying that God would lead us through these physical realities. God, what are you asking of us? What can we use here? What is it going to take to physically bring the love of Christ into these homes on a social level? God, what doors, what avenues can we use? And I'm being very real and raw with you this morning because I don't have all of those answers yet. We're asking you to pray with us. And that's what I'm here for, to tell you a little bit about them, but because I want you to pray. And we need your prayers. We need the wisdom of God, the direction of God. Which of these channels are you asking us to walk down? How can we create meaningful access to this particular people group? Because honestly, I'm not 100% sure yet. Is it going to take physical means? Is it going to take spiritual? Is it going to take social? What is it, God? And we're waiting, and we want you to wait with us, and we want you to pray with us. Now, what I do want to share a little bit, you can go to the next slide. I want to tell you a little bit about some friends of ours that we met, because in our learning process, we did find a group in another country. This is the team I was mentioning, who are reaching them. Now, this is really exciting, because one of the fellas in this picture you see is maybe the first believer that I've ever even heard of amongst this people group. Yeah, and the other fellow on the other side is his brother, and the guy in the middle is his father. And this family is currently being discipled in another country. And this team also runs, you won't see the teams, you won't see the names or any faces or anything like that, but I want you to be praying for this team in this country. I know that's not a lot to go on. I apologize for that, but there is a team. And they're about 5 years ahead of us down this road, seeing fruit, seeing lives transformed. And the ladies on this team are also working with the women in this community and discipling about 8 or 9 other women who haven't made commitments yet to faith, but who are leading them towards Christ, who are teaching them Bible stories in their own language, in the Domari language. And that's exciting. Like, that's pioneering work that we see in this picture. You can go to the next one here. This is my wife, actually, being able to visit some of their homes. Now, some of them sometimes will be able to rent an apartment on the peripheral of a city. But by and large, they live in tents. So I want you to lift this team up. This is quite exciting to us, and we're learning as much as we can from them, being able to visit them and see and get on the ground and see and feel and touch and talk to and meet. We were sitting in tents with them, eating food with them, sharing Ramadan iftars with them, which was quite exciting. So lift them up in prayer. These new believers especially, there's only one amongst this community that we know who is now a believer. And it's a bit secret. He still tries to hide and still identifies as a Muslim. But we're encouraging him, we're walking with him, and we're hoping that his light can shine brightly in that community. Now, one of the other things we've been able to do is build a prayer network. And we found some people in our capital city that we are praying with for this people group. Now, how many people know that prayer is important? Yes, right? I'm going to tell you, make this statement confidently, that no major movement has ever happened in history without prayer and fasting happening. Now, I don't have time to go through all of the proof on that, but I can tell you very confidently that prayer and fasting is essential to seeing a move of God, especially of this magnitude, happen. So as we're praying with this group in our capital city, we met, it's a mix of foreigners and locals, mostly foreigners, but we have some locals mixed in as well. And as we're praying, we do often spend a lot of time just listening to God, because we need to hear what he says. We need to hear his heart. We need to catch his passion for this people group. So we're praying for this people group, and so God has shared with us some scriptures that he wants us to hold on to as we're thinking about this people group, and I want to share them with you today. So we'll start with Hebrews 13, 12 to 13. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. So as we're praying and God is speaking this to our hearts, we really feel strongly that to be able to reach this people group, we need to do it through local believers who are willing to go outside of their camps, to leave their homes and leave the safety and security and stability of the major cities and go out into the camps outside, which is going to be a major sacrifice for them. So we're praying that God would raise up local champions, local believers with a passion, not my passion, not my heart for this people, his heart and his passion and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do it in his way and do it in his strength and do it on his accord. And that's what we're praying for. So I want to show you this next picture, which is actually quite exciting. So this is, any Greek speakers here today? That's all right, me neither, don't worry. But this term is Greek, and this is a new project that we've started. And even those Bible school students out there, eh? No? That's okay. Anapto is the name of this project. Anapto is a term that actually means to set ablaze, to kindle into flame. And so this is a project where we've been asked to start this to train and send local believers to unreached people groups. And so we started with a group of 34 who are definitely called by God to reach unreached people groups. So we bring them together every month. We're about 7 months now into this training with them. And by the end of the year, we have 13 opportunities that we have amongst the unreached and unengaged world to send these local believers. Now, our prayer is that there would be people in this group who are called to stay in our country and reach this people group there, reach the 3 million that are in our country too. So I want you to pray with us for this project. We're going back again in September. We hit the ground and we start again with our next training, and we'll be talking about strategy, and we'll be taking next steps to actually get them sent by the end of the year. So that's quite exciting because this hasn't ever happened really before. So this is new, and so we're kind of feeling our way through this, and we definitely need your prayers on this. Can you pray for Anapto Project? Okay, can you say it with me? Anapto? Yes, there now, you won't forget it. So let's go to the next scripture. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. 1 Peter 2:10, and this is what God is speaking to us about this people group. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And this is what we believe God wants them to be known as, his people. They may not have a home, they may not be accepted, they may not be welcome, but he wants to make them part of his family. He wants to bring them into his fold, his sheep, just like we all know what that feels like here. And they don't yet. Not yet. The next scripture is Isaiah 1:18, and these next two go together. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And the next one, Zechariah 3:4, and the angel said to those who are standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I've taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. Now, the world tells them, you're filthy thieves, you're beggars, criminals, bad people. They tell others to stay away from them. They live in filthy places. They live in the dirt. And if you go inside their homes, there's no floor. They sleep on a dirty mat on the dirt. But that's not how God sees them. He sees their sin. He sees the filth, but he wants to give them a pure heart. He wants to forgive their sins. He wants to take that iniquity away. He wants to give them what he's given us, what we know, what we carry with us, that hope, that peace, the love of God that pours into us. Yeah, they don't know it yet, but he wants to pour it there. So God's speaking these scriptures. So if you take those scriptures, now we're partners in this, right? We're partnering together, right? We've been here for a while. And I want you to take these scriptures and I want you to pray through them with us. And our email address and our contact info is open to you. If you want to get in touch with us, if God's speaking something specific, a new scripture or something about these, please let us know what it is. We need to hear from God on this. Now, here's what we need from you. Four quick things. I'm going to put these up on the screen. Four things we're asking of you to pray for. We need access to this people group. We honestly, at this point, do not know what it's going to take. We've been into the area where they live several times. We've pinmarked locations. We've been ridden out of town a couple of times by police, convoys of police with black masks and guns, and we've had our passports taken, confiscated pictures, and we've been held up by police for hours. Yeah, so we're facing some difficulties actually creating access, just being in the area where they live, let alone in their camps. Okay, it's real. So I want you to pray that God would give us wisdom and open doors for that access. Number two up here, we're looking for open hearts because we can bring the gospel, but we need people to receive it. So pray that God would till the ground in their hearts, till that soil, so when the seeds are planted, the fruit comes forth. But I'm not praying for 30, 60, 100 fold. I am praying for 3 million. There's 3 million in my country, and I want all of them to come to faith, every one of them. The vision that we have is very simple, dome reaching dome. We want them to be reaching each other with the gospel and going from camp to camp and taking the gospel message. Can you pray for that dome reaching dome? Because, folks, we're late in the game here. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know. But we're late in the game. And the last one, two here, we need local champions, I mentioned. We need local believers to get involved, and we need intercessors. I need you guys. I need you folks to be praying for this. So, the month of September, we're doing 30 days of prayer for this particular people group, and I want you to join us. So we've developed a prayer guide. It has something to pray for every single day. And if you're willing and interested, we've left a sign-up sheet for you at the welcome desk with Elgida at the welcome desk. And I would love for you, all we need is your name and your email address. It's not for anything else, not for marketing. No, I'm not going to pass it on. No one else will get it. BCCs, all the good stuff, right? So it'll be secure. And we'll send you this prayer guide. And we want you to join in September because we're going to hit the ground running in September 1st. So if you're willing and you're interested, we'd love for you to join us. Does that sound good? Good. So I think I'm a bit out of time now, so I'm going to pass it back over to Steve, and I thank you for your time, for your attention, and for not falling asleep, because that was awesome, and very happy to be with you today.